you came from. I wish I did. I feel so dumb. I feel...
Welcome to Broadway Radio. I'm Broadway World's Matt Timoney. And in this special interview episode, we have my conversations with the cast, creators, and director of Fun Home as they were down here in Central Florida, where I live, to do a benefit concert production of the show at the Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts. This concert production was a unique one in response to the tragic attack that happened at the Pulse nightclub just a few blocks away from the Dr. Phillips Center back on June 12th. Since then, the Broadway community has responded in such unbelievable, compassionate ways that it's really made a huge impact on Orlando. I was fortunate enough to talk to all these wonderful people and to get to see some of the concert last night. And as soon as the show's librettist and lyricist Lisa Crone got on stage, introduced the cast and the band, the entire 2,700 person audience at the Dr. Phillips Center stood up and gave one of the most appreciative standing ovations that I've ever seen in my life, and it went on for at least a minute. It was a really remarkable thing to see how much, even before the performance actually started, that our community here in Central Florida appreciated not only what the cast and crew and creators of Fun Home did, but that they were kind of our gateway to the entire theater community, who has been so wonderful to everybody down here. Coming up, you're going to hear me interview Beth Malone, Michael Cerveris, Judy Kuhn, Janine Tesori, Lisa Crone, and Sam Gold. These originally came from Broadway World's Facebook Live feed. So if you want to check out those videos, you can find them on Broadway World or on Broadway World's Facebook feed. They all had really incredibly insightful things to say, not only about what the show was meant to them personally, but what it means to be an activist in the theater and what they're hoping that the show's legacy is after it leaves Broadway in August. And then also specifically about why it was important for them to come down and to bring this show, specifically this show, down to Central Florida. Enjoy the interviews. We are here with Beth Malone. Beth, thank you so much for being here. Since the events at the Pulse nightclub happened on June 12th, the outpouring of support, both emotional and financial, obviously has been tremendous from the Broadway community. What was it about your show that felt such a special connection to the events that happened down here that it was important to bring your story down to Central Florida?
Well, even for us who get to do Fun Home every day, it was very important for us to be able to go into that theater after the events and just sort of wrap the sanctity of this beautiful play around us like a blanket, because we were all just shattered by the events, just devastated by, and you know, the feeling of helplessness and just utter, we were at a loss of how to move forward, you know. And then we got to go do the show, and we were like, this is how you move forward. You do this beautiful piece of theater. You put this tale of the difference between living in fear and in lies and living in openness and courage, and you show these two lives next to each other, and you send this ripple out into the world for people to learn from, for people to mourn. You know, the loss that happens in Fun Home is a loss that a lot of people have suffered and understand, and this show, it heals people, and we're here to heal people, and we're here to heal ourselves too.
This show has been such a story about the coming of age for people, not just in the LGBTQ community, but it's really struck a chord with pretty much everybody who's seen it. Now that the show's coming into its last few weeks on Broadway and then goes into a different phase of its life, what are you hoping that the legacy of a show that you've been involved with for quite a long time, what are you hoping that the legacy this show leaves behind is?
Well, you know, I haven't thought a lot about its legacy, but if we leave behind anything, it really did change the modality of musical theater. It really did. It's a quiet, smart, tender piece of theater that exists on a razor's edge, and it changed it changed me as an actor, and it changes everyone who comes in, and it changes people's hearts. So I really feel like the legacy will be those altered hearts out living in the world and moving through their lives having experienced this kind of empathy. And I hope, you know, I hope it really does make permanent good changes in people's hearts and minds. I really, that is my hope for it.
Telephone wire, long black line. Telephone wire, finely threaded sky. There's the pond where I went waiting. There's a sign for Sugar Valley. On the mountain, light is fading. I go back to school tomorrow. Say something, talk to him. Say something, anything. At the light, at the light, at the light, at the light. At the light, at the light, at the light, at the light. Doesn't matter what you say. Just make the fear in his eyes go away.
Michael, thank you so much. From everything we've heard, this was an idea that came to you to bring Fun Home down here to Orlando just 12, 13 hours after the events actually happened. What was it that struck you about this event that said we have to be proactive and go down to where this actually occurred?
Well, we had learned, I think, the value of actually having feet on the ground in a place. I mean, it's incredibly valuable to do concerts and raise money and send help in those ways. And you know, we've all participated in those kinds of things. The Broadway community is really wonderful at that. But we learned in South Carolina when we went, when the College of Charleston had funding withdrawn by the legislature in South Carolina because they were making the book available to their freshmen. We learned how much even more meaningful it is to sometimes just travel and make the trip and show up on the ground to really say physically, you know, we're standing with you and we, you know, we're listening and sharing, you know, what you're going through. Not that we can begin to understand what, you know, what people here are going through, but we certainly, you know, feel affected by it. And so, you know, I had that experience. And on the Sunday morning, as we were going into work, we were all just getting the news and, you know, trying to process all of it. And then, you know, we were doing our show, which, while it's not directly about the, you know, the events that happened here, it's about a lot of the same themes and, or certainly resonant themes. And that sort of desire to somehow respond and to fight the feeling of helplessness that kind of comes when you're faced with this kind of atrocity. This simple idea of, well, we should just go. And so I, you know, I got, and it happened to be my idea and it happened to be me who spoke up first, but I wasn't alone in wanting to do something. And I immediately just contacted our creators and our producers and said, is this something we could look into doing? And they said, absolutely. And then we set about doing it. And I think the thing I was really pleased and proud of was that we made a real effort from the beginning to make sure that we were not imposing something here or weren't trying to tell people here what they needed. We worked very hard with the mayor's office and Equality Florida and the Phillips Center to just understand how we could help and what we could do. And it turned out the thing that seemed the most logical was to do what we do, which is come tell our story. So that's what we're doing.
You've been a part of telling the story for quite a while now. And now as the show starts to wind down and its Broadway incarnation, I wonder, over the course of the 3, 4, 5 years that you've been a part of it, have you found that you've taken something away from Bruce's story differently throughout the arc of your experience with the show?
I definitely have. I think in a lot of ways, I always was in really intent on making sure that he was a well-rounded figure and that the audience not be able to dismiss him for the, you know, the less appealing parts of him. That I really wanted people to understand not that I fully understand Bruce Bechtel, but I wanted people to be able to understand a man like this and to be able to not be distracted by the particulars into thinking he was a monster or he was, you know, this or that, you know, that he's simply a human being who, you know, was grappling sometimes unsuccessfully with things beyond his ability to grapple with.
Pony girl, ride right away. I knew you'd break my heart someday. Some folks get the call to go. Some folks are bound to stay. Oh, ride, ride, ride away.
We're here with Judy Kuhn. Thank you so much for coming down here. I know the community here in Orlando really appreciates it. Your show has been kind of the little engine that could, I guess, really unconventional content, but at every turn at the Public and then on Broadway, it's really gathered such great fan support. What is it about this show that means so much to the people who see it?
Well, I think, you know, I think it's different for everybody who sees it, but I think at its core, it is so human. And there isn't anything in it. I mean, I think people, everybody can relate to different things in it. And everybody is deeply moved by it and exhilarated by it and uplifted by it. And, you know, and I think people come away changed. I mean, people tell us that this show has changed their lives. And that is a very rare and special thing in the theater.
Yeah. Now, you left the show for a little bit to have some work done.
Yes, I had surgery. I didn't have this going.
No. And so what was it like to leave the show that you'd been a part of for so long and then to come back and get back involved?
Well, I hated leaving. I didn't like not being there. But I've been involved in this show for a long time. It's been a long run. So, you know, it's good to have a break too, and I felt very reinvigorated when I came back and was reminded by why I love doing the show so much. And so it was good.
Yeah. So the reason you guys are down here is not exactly we love to have you,
no.
But not why we would want to, but
we wish that we didn't need to do things like this.
But with the tragedy that happened here in Orlando, mm-hmm. happening on the morning of the Tony Awards for so
yes.
much, this has been a really galvanizing point for the entire theater
yes.
community, but especially for Fun Home, which is so much about the LGBTQ community.
Yes.
What message are you hoping to give not only the community here in Orlando, but
right.
worldwide by coming down here and doing the
right.
show for this audience?
Well, first of all, it's that, you know, our community is behind their community, that we really care. And I think when something happens in a community like this, and particularly a community within a community, you can feel alone with it. And I think it's really important to reach out and say, we're with you. So that's one thing. But I also think, again, you know, this show has put characters on stage that haven't been on stage. I mean, this is the first show that has a lesbian protagonist who's, you know, shown, who is portrayed in a completely three-dimensional way, whose experiences are completely recognizable. And, you know, I think it's really, in that way, it brings people together. And I think that's what theater needs to do. It needs to show people others, the experience of others, in order that we realize we're one. And I have to say that we one of the most extraordinary things that's happened among many things and shown how this show is so important to and how it connects to a larger world is that our U.S. ambassador to the U.N., Samantha Power, came to the show and brought 17 ambassadors from countries all over the world, some where it's illegal to be gay. And the ambassador from Colombia said at the end the most beautiful thing. He said, I sat here and I watched you and I laughed with you and I cried with you and I thought, what is the message? Why am I having all these responses when it's just nothing special is happening on stage. I mean, it was just life on stage. And then he said, I realized at the end what the message was, is that you were saying to me, I am you, and you are me, and we are all together. And I mean, I thought, wow, that's it. Yeah. What else is there?
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Have a great last few weeks on Broadway
thank
with the
you.
Show, and have a great show here tonight.
Days thank you very
and
much.
Days and days, that's how it happens. Days and days and days, made of posing and bragging and fits of rage. And boys, my God, some of them underage. And oh, how did it all happen here? There was a time.
We are joined by the show's creators, Janine Tesori and Lisa Cron. Thank you guys both for being here. The fact that you guys brought the show down here to Orlando has meant a lot to this community, not only the theatrical community, but the LGBTQ community. Why was it so important to not just do something up in New York, which a lot of other people have done and we're all grateful for, but why was it important to bring this specific show down here to Orlando as part of a benefit?
Well, this show has a history, and we are a show of activists. There are activists in the cast, and the show itself has activated a lot. And when Michael Cerveris had the idea, it was very similar to what happened when we went to South Carolina, and we all went down there, and it meant so much to that community. And the show is very light on its feet to respond, but also we're a group of people who care. We've been together. I mean, Lisa and I have been writing now. We wrote the show for 7 years, so we feel bonded that way. And it's really important that shows get outside of New York and travel to where the country is. It's not just about New York.
The show is entering its last few weeks since last month on Broadway, and then it is going to go out and it's going to travel. Then eventually regional theaters are going to be able to do it, and amateurs, and then schools eventually too. What does it mean to get this show outside of that insular tri-state area so more people can get it? What are you hoping that changes about the story of Fun Home now that more people are going to get to see it?
I suppose there's part of people's experience of seeing this show that feels, I think sometimes like it's a way of seeing families that contain LGBTQ people that we haven't seen before, and that feels, I think, dynamic and like it opens something for people. But I think the other thing is that LGBTQ people have always been everywhere. They've always been in families. And so I think the other thing that happens is that it is a family story. As Mark Harris said, you know, you shouldn't go see the story unless you are a parent or a child. And so I think sometimes there's fear of other people's fear of the subject matter, but that's not something that happens in the theater. It is about, a child yearning for a connection with a parent. And I think when people see it, the obviousness of that humanity, it isn't a question anymore. So I suppose the more places we do it, the more that is obvious to people.
Oh, okay. One of the things that's really taken hold from this show is this idea of these Ring of Keys moments, whether that's for someone who's gay or lesbian or bisexual, transgender, or just someone in general who sees something in themselves and learns about themselves. When someone is coming to this show, what are you hoping they take away from it? What are you hoping that they leave having learned about others and about themselves?
I mean, for me, it is that if, when you see this show, to be reminded that there are great consequences to not being who you are. And my mom, who's in her late 80s, raised Roman Catholic, and when she saw it, she said, and it was really striking for me, she said, well, I guess you're always coming out. You know, who am I really? And I thought, well, exactly. Those things change. But to ignore them means to block something and disconnect. Once you disconnect from yourself, there are grave consequences often, I think, because it builds and it builds and it comes to get you, people who aren't. And I think when you see the extreme right or the extreme anything, it's often the energy that's going against something that you really are.
Well, thank you both so much, and thank you for coming down to Orlando and enjoy the night here.
us on Maple Avenue. See how we polish and we shine. We rearrange and realign. Everything is balanced and serene. Like chaos never happens if it's never seen. Every need.
We're here with director Sam Gold. Sam, thank you for being here today. This show has meant so many different things to so many different people, not only the theater community and the LGBTQ community, but just anyone who's seen it is touched by it. What is the message that you are hoping that coming down here to Orlando gives, not only to the people who see it, but to the larger community in general?
It's an amazing question, and I really don't, I wouldn't like to ascribe meaning, but I think being in a room with other people who can all go through the same thing at the same time, is that's what theater is for, right? It's a cathartic event, and that's what it's been doing for thousands of years. And we've seen that this show has been meaningful to a lot of people in a lot of contexts, and I know it will be meaningful tonight to 2,700 people who are all gathered from a community that's been through a lot, and there'll be space to have an experience tonight.
Since June 12th, when the horrific events happened down the street from here at the Pulse nightclub, the Broadway community and the theater community at large has really banded together to support the Orlando community, not just emotionally, but financially as well. Why was it so important for you guys to take a day off, to come down here and to do this show in Orlando rather than just, you know, doing an extra benefit up in New York?
Well, raising money is one thing, and yeah, we could have raised money in New York and sent it down here or something like that, but I think you feel so helpless being far away, you know, and it becomes just a news story, and you don't put faces to the news story. And to come down here, and I just went by the club on my way over here just now, and you know, it's not, I've never been to Orlando. I don't have a specific and human connection to this place, and so you get one. And I think that is the same thing to me. It's that theater is about real people in a room together, and you want to be there with people. You want to be in the room. You want to share something, and that instinct, I think, is what brought us all down here.
As this show enters its final few weeks, its final month on Broadway, and then it goes out to go on tour, and then eventually regional productions and amateur productions, what are you hoping that the mark is that Fun Home has left on not only the theatrical community, but the Broadway community, because it is unlike anything else that's ever been on Broadway before?
Well, on top of just hoping to, you know, be emotionally impactful to a wide audience, I do think it always helps push the theater community and the Broadway community forward when sort of underdogs are successful, when things that are unconventional in subject matter and in form and are about kinds of people that don't have their voices heard, when those things work and people come to see them, then it pushes the industry forward.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for coming down here to Orlando.
Okay, hi.